You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back, Buffalo Bills fans. It's Matt Warren, editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com. As always, we want to encourage you to send in your questions for next week's Buffalo Rumblings Q&A. You can do that by calling us and leaving a voicemail at 716-508-0405. Tweet us at RumblingsQ&A with the word "and" spelled out in the middle of it. You can send us Facebook messages, Instagram messages. We've got emails today. You can send those to BuffaloRumblings@sbnation.com. You can leave comments in the comment section at BuffaloRumblings.com as well. We want to hear from you. The show is super boring without your stuff. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing to the Buffalo Rumblings podcast channel. And we look forward to hearing from you in the future. We had a microphone malfunction this week during our recording session, so we're using the backup audio that I always record now that we've had problems in the past. So if it's a little bit wonky, that's why. Thanks for sticking around. With the third preseason game in the books, this time against the Detroit Lions, the Buffalo Bills quote-unquote dress rehearsal has been concluded, and a bunch of folks have asked me what I thought about the game, so that's our question of the week. What did you think about the Bills against the Detroit Lions in the preseason dress rehearsal ramp-up game? I thought that the game plan was very interesting, and we'll get to a little bit of this in one of the questions that's coming up later. But I thought that the game plan where the Bills decided to run the ball a ton, where they had been passing the ball a ton with Josh Allen early in the preseason, I thought that that offensive game plan was really interesting. They decided to hand the ball off to LeSean McCoy and Frank Gore a lot. Devin Singletary got in on the action for his touchdown run. So did Isaiah McKenzie. They did a lot of run pass. Again, I don't put a lot of stock into game plans for the preseason. They're looking for specific things from specific players in some cases, or specific things from groups of players in other cases. So maybe they wanted to see how the offensive line was going to block as a group, because they had been passing so much. So the fact that the Bills were in a bunch of third and long situations really doesn't scare me right now. I think Brian Daboll knows how to call a game based on his 2018 performance and what we've seen so far in 2019. I think he knows how to design an offense, and I think he was looking at specific things against the Detroit Lions, which is why we saw a lot of that run pass stuff that we've been not seeing in other places. So that really doesn't bother me. The defense, I thought, played pretty well, considering they hadn't seen a first-string quarterback that wasn't Jacoby Brissett throughout the preseason. Seeing Matt Stafford and TJ Hawkinson and what the Lions were throwing at them was different than what they've been seeing so far. So I thought that the Bills looked pretty good against the Lions. I'm not putting a whole lot of stock in whether they won or lost the game, but I do think that they looked just fine against the Detroit Lions. None of it's really going to matter until the regular season starts, obviously. And so even if they looked great in the preseason, I wouldn't say that that necessarily would translate to the regular season, because Nathan Peterman's done that before. We had a great preseason and that didn't translate to the regular season. The Bills are setting themselves up for specific things, whether it's roster cuts or identifying which five offensive linemen should be starting. All that stuff was going into the game plan against the Lions. And so I think that for what they were trying to do, that looks great. ¶¶ Our first listener question comes from Travis Smith, who emailed us at buffalorumblings@sbnation.com. Thanks for all your Bills content. I have enjoyed it, says Travis. Quick question. I saw Brian Daboll talking tempo in his presser. The team seemed to go fast versus the Colts in week one until the score was out of hand. Is tempo a big part of this offense, or was it more of a fluke thing? I think they are trying to get a little bit more of a read on Josh Allen in the first two games of the preseason. They had him, you know, with empty backfield sets and five wide receivers. And then in the third preseason game, they completely turned it on its head and went run heavy. I think they were trying to get a look at as many sets as they possibly could to get a read on guys like Josh Allen, Frank Gore, but more importantly, the offensive line, because that's where a lot of those big decisions were happening. They, with the second team offense, you saw more of a rotation and more of a tempo Matt Barkley kind of offense. But with the first team in particular, they were looking at specific things. They were looking at which five offensive linemen were in there and how they were performing. They were looking at which of the wide receivers as they were rotating in guys in addition to John Brown and Cole Beasley. They were looking at guys who could contribute to the Bills offense as part of the first team offense. So they're getting those kind of things straightened out. Tempo is going to be an important part of the game that they want to keep Josh Allen comfortable running the offense and in the pocket. So if he's more comfortable doing the shotgun snap, five wide receiver thing, they're going to have him do that at least on good chunks of the game. And you saw that against the Lions in the two-minute offense when he was really in command and had his best part of that game. Was in that two-minute offense right before the half. So is tempo important? Yeah, obviously it's important. And I think the Bills are going to push the tempo a little bit when they're doing well, but they're also going to slow it down. And you saw that against the Lions early in the game when they were running the ball. So they're going to take what the defense gives them, I think, and use that tempo piece to their advantage. Thanks for the question. At buffalorumblings@sbnation.com. Our Twitter question of the week comes from Mark at BBillsFan30. With how well both Daryl Johnson and Mike Love have performed, is there a chance we keep five defensive ends? Assuming Hughes, Murphy, and Lawson are the top three, if we're only keeping four, is it Johnson? And if so, is there a chance we could trade Love for a late round pick? Well, I'm going to answer the last part of the question first. I don't think there's a chance that they can trade Mike Love for a late round pick. GMs just hold on to their players or their picks a lot more than you would think. Marshall Newhouse was traded for a conditional late round pick in the future year last year, and he had a long track record of starting in this league. Mike Love, a depth defense end, isn't going to have that kind of trade value. The Bills will be able to release, will have to release him if they want to get rid of him. They won't be able to trade him. Moving on to the rest of your question, yeah, I had five defensive ends on my latest roster projection just because I think Love and Johnson have both played very well this offseason, and I think they could be developmental prospects for when they lose Shaq Lawson a year from now. So I do think that the Bills are going to keep Daryl Johnson and Mike Love both on the roster. They both performed well enough to be rostered on the 53-man. I don't think both of them will dress for game days, but you'll probably have four on game day instead of five. But I do think both of them should make the roster. It's going to come down to that kind of special team spots and how many depth linebackers they want to keep and what's going on at the wide receiver position more than probably how they've been playing. Both of them deserve to be on the roster, but if they need an extra spot at wide receiver or they need an extra spot at linebacker, that's one of the places they could look, is to, you know, release Mike Love and maybe try to get him back on the practice squad where he spent a chunk of last year. They've both played very well. I've been impressed with Daryl Johnson. I knew what Mike Love could do based on what we saw from him last year, but I've been impressed with Johnson. I wasn't expecting much when he came in as a seventh-round pick. Seventh-round defensive ends usually don't perform very well, but his combination of size and speed, I thought he was going to need some seasoning in the NFL, especially in the nutrition program, to kind of get up to his right weight, and because he came from such a small school, so I thought it was just going to take him a little bit of time. And he's really been impressive in the preseason games, and even in practice, he's shown really well. So I'm glad that that's a problem that they're having. I wrote a piece about the running backs this week where they're going to have to cut NFL level talent. They're going to have to cut guys that are 53-man roster guys, either in Buffalo or in other places in years past or this year. So they're in a position where they're starting to have good enough depth where they're cutting guys that could conceivably make other 53-man rosters. So it's a good problem to have, and I don't see them moving on from any of those top three defensive ends either. I just don't see the trade market for, say, a Shaq Lawson or even a Trent Murphy. I don't see the trade market for that. I think the Bills are going to go with that, especially with how poor the pass rush has been the last couple of years. They really need to make sure that they get that right. So keeping all five defensive ends would make sense to me. Thanks for the question, at Rumblings Q&A on Twitter. We'll be right back after this break.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We got a few different versions of this question, but at Darren Wang, D-A-R-E-N-W-A-N-G, asked us on Twitter, the Texans have to be on the phone to the Bills for LeSean McCoy. Shady looked great on Friday, and the Bills have running backs to spare. Does a one-year rental on Jadeveon Clowney make sense? Darren is referring, of course, to the fact that Lamar Miller, the Houston Texans starting running back, went down with a torn ACL in their preseason game over the weekend. The Bills, I mean, they could be interested in trading LeSean McCoy. I don't really know. They have four or five NFL caliber running backs on their roster right now, which means they have a surplus they could deal from. And they have an expensive, aging running back who could present problems in the locker room in LeSean McCoy. So if they wanted to get rid of him, that would be fine. The other pieces of this conversation don't make a whole lot of sense to me. Yeah, the Texans could be looking at the fact that Andrew Luck retired and seeing a path toward the AFC South Division Championship. They could be very interested in reloading instead of trying to get a cheaper option. If I'm the Texans, I'm not taking on that contract. And if I'm the Bills, I don't like that contract, which is why I guess it makes sense that they haven't traded him yet, because nobody wants to take on that contract for LeSean McCoy. Obviously, the Bills could use a pass rusher like Jadeveon Clowney, but we just talked about the fact that the Bills have five, you know, a 53-man roster defensive ends that they're capable of rostering right now. Trent Murphy has looked better this year, coming off of his injury from 2 years ago now. They have Jerry Hughes back in the fold, even though he's a little bit dinged up right now. He's back in the fold, and he's going to be good this season. They just gave him a contract extension. They have Shaq Lawson on a one-year rental already. So having two guys heavy in their rotation that are going to be on one-year rentals wouldn't be great. And that one-year part of it really does scare me a little bit, because I want the Bills to be building for the long term, not necessarily 2019. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team in 2019. So you have Jadeveon Clowney here for 2019. He does well, and then the Bills don't re-sign him for 2020. And what do you really get out of it? I mean, what are you going to get out of 1 year of those running backs? I get that. But I don't see where it would happen now where it didn't happen back in June or May or April even. So I still think it's very unlikely that the Bills are going to be in the Jadeveon Clowney sweepstakes. I haven't heard At BillsFan365 asks us, who's your punter? Well, the Bills just released Corey Carter with an injury. He was battling Corey Bajorquez for the punting job during the training camp preseason, and Carter was doing better. But then some knee soreness crept in, and he had to be sidelined in week three. And I guess they didn't think he was going to be ready for week four, so they put him on the shelf. The Bills could, of course, bring in another punter to compete for the job at some point. That's what they did with Bajorquez a season ago. He was released during final cuts from the Patriots. The Bills brought him in and signed him before week one. It could happen again with the Patriots, who just released their punter last week. And Buffalo could bring him in and have him be the holder for Stephen Hauschka and be our new punter. Obviously, a lot of experience there. So it's, you know, really still up in the air. I don't think Corey Bajorquez is the answer. They need to upgrade at punter. If it happens right now, if it happens in week four, if it happens after the season, it's going to happen at some point. I'm hoping it happens sooner rather than later. Thanks for your question, at Runlings Q&A. Back to Twitter, at IrishHunter16, frequent questioner for the podcast, and we really appreciate that, asks us, which position ranked in overall importance are the Bills most likely to address via waivers, recognizing it all depends on who is released by other teams? I think there's really only two positions that we would see this, where the Bills would be adding to their 53-man roster. And I just talked about one of them, it's punter. The Bills did that a year ago after New England cut Corey Bajorquez. They brought him in to replace Colby Schmidt, who was not great in the training camp or preseason the year before, and Corey Carter was on IR with his ACL tear. So the Bills brought in Bajorquez for the first part of the season after making a waiver claim on him. The other position I could see it happening is at offensive tackle, specifically if they found someone that they felt could come in and be the team's swing tackle to kind of replace what they thought Adrian Waddle was going to be before he got hurt. They have been tinkering with the offensive line depth, whether it's Ike Butker stepping in when Quentin Spain goes down, or bringing in, you know, the undrafted tackle from the Philadelphia Eagles, who then was playing center. And they've just been really tinkering with the depth on the offensive line, and even the starters on the offensive line, but they're not going to be able to pick up a starter in waivers. But if they could get one of those depth players that could play both tackle positions or something like that, they would definitely be looking at that on the waiver wire. So those are the two positions that I really think would be impacted by the waiver wire. And I think it does go in that level of importance, punter first, and then offensive tackle after that. Because we're talking about a depth player, hopefully. We're talking about a guy that's not going to see the field, we hope. So that's what I'm thinking. You can, of course, send in your answers to this question at Rumblings Q&A on Twitter, or leave them in the comment section at BuffaloRumblings.com. At ND Endzone 33 on Twitter, Andrew Ensign asks us, linebacker is not a much talked about position. Haven't seen much from Voshan Joseph. Does he go to the practice squad with the emergence of Thompson and Lacey? Lacey has been a beast in the preseason. The Bills haven't typically given up on their draft picks as easily and as quickly as you're suggesting here, Andrew. Voshan Joseph would seem to be safely inside the roster bubble if they had to keep him and cut somebody else, like, you know, Maurice Alexander, who's a special teams contributor but has, you know, played in the NFL at linebacker and safety. He's a guy that I actually really like, Maurice Alexander. I would rather cut Joseph at this point in time than Alexander, but that's me. Joseph has been running almost exclusively with the 13 defense in practice and in the preseason. You're going to see a lot of run from him during the fourth preseason game, so maybe that's where kind of the wheat is separated from the chaff in the fourth preseason game. So, I mean, you're right. The depth of that position isn't talked about much because Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano are really locked in, and so is Lorenzo Alexander in his role. But the linebacker position has been really fun to watch during the preseason. I'm not really convinced that Deion Lacey is going to make the team as much as you were kind of up in arms that he's been a beast during the preseason. They have a solid group of linebackers behind Edmonds, Milano, and Alexander. Julian Stanford has been getting first-team reps every once in a while, being peppered in, and has been taking the second-team reps. Corey Thompson is a guy that's been playing a lot. So really, I think it's Voshan Joseph, Maurice Alexander, and Lacey playing for that third spot. And we'll see who comes out on top after the fourth preseason game. There's a lot of room still left on the back end of that roster. And if you're going to keep five defensive ends, like I've been advocating for, I'd rather keep five defensive ends than a seventh linebacker. So I'd rather have Mike Love and Daryl Johnson than Voshan Joseph and Deion Lacey or Maurice Alexander. Thanks for your question at Rumblings Q&A. At Rory Doolin on Twitter asks us, after the Lions game, seeing a lot of folks on social media calling for Matt Barkley to start, can you help them understand why Barkley is the backup and why Bills brass would stick with Allen for at least half of this season? Well, they're going to stick with him for at least all the season unless he gets hurt. Allen has a much higher ceiling than Matt Barkley. He has arm strength that Barkley doesn't. Barkley has been taking what the defense gives him over and over and over again. In the regular season, they would adjust for that. They would move safeties up. They would load the box a little bit more, jam receivers at the line. Allen gives them a dimension that they don't have, the ability to throw it down the field with power and a little bit of accuracy. I just think he's an up-and-coming quarterback. I think Barkley is a very talented quarterback. I think he's a top 35 quarterback in the league for sure. And so I'm not disputing that Barkley has looked good during the preseason. He's just not a guy that I would want to build my team around for the long term. He's kind of the perfect backup. He's a guy that could come in and be serviceable for a few games and kind of get you through. So I just think Barkley is a much, much higher ceiling. Allen has a much higher ceiling than Barkley. And this is the quarterback of the future. He's going to get at least the year to prove that. Thanks for your question. At Rumblings Q&A. Last question we're going to sneak in here at the end. The Chad, T-Chad 1110 on Twitter asks us, Duke Williams is looking great in the red zone. Do you think we should keep him for that? In my opinion, I think we should. Yeah, I think that he gives a dimension to the Bills that they don't have on their roster of Smurfs right now. I wrote that on Saturday or Sunday when I did a breakdown of the wide receiver depth chart. I think Williams played his way onto the roster with that red zone catch. I mean, it's hard to say that one play played him onto the roster. He's certainly been playing very well in the preseason, and he's a guy I wasn't expecting to actually make any impact for the Bills when they signed him from CFL. But his size is different than anything that the Bills have on their roster right now. They worked him in with the first team on Friday night against the Lions, and Zay Jones was playing all game. Duke Williams was playing all game. So I think he's worked his way into the fourth or fifth conversation and made his way onto the roster. That one play just kind of exemplifies all of that. It's not going to be the reason he makes the roster, but it's just kind of going to be the moment we point to and say, yeah, like, this is what we've been seeing in training camp and in the preseason, and he deserves to be on the team. Thanks for your question. At Rumblings Q&A. Thanks for sticking around, sound issues and all, this week. As always, after the Bills 53-man roster cuts come in, before week one of the NFL regular season, we're finally there. Send in your questions. 716-508-0405 is the phone line. You can text us there as well, but voicemail always works best for the show. You can tweet us at RumblingsQ&A with the word and spelled out in the middle. Email buffalorumblings@sbnation.com. Leave comments in the comment section at buffalorumblings.com. Facebook messages, Instagram messages, all those ways to get in touch with the show. It's here, guys. It's the Bills regular season coming very shortly to a TV screen near you. Go Bills.